You're listening to a Mash Those Buttons podcast, brought to you ad-free with the support of our patrons. Visit mashthosebuttons.com or stay tuned after the show for more details.
Hello and welcome to Dropping Spicy Ready Room Episode 16, The Real Deal, with a D-H and not a D-E-A-L, whatever. I don't really get it. We'll see if it means something here soon. Ready Rooms is a Mash Those Buttons extended podcast dedicated to a deeper look at the results from the Dropping Spicy community's feedback through weekly polls and quizzes about Apex Legends and other community topics. Today, you're joined by me, Gio, as always, and Stuart Young, also known as Spry Fox. How have you been?
Been doing just fine, man. Also, I think it's the real deal with an H because it's heal, because in this scenario, your lifeline, your healing. The real deal.
Man, Crazy's just got some time on his hands.
Yeah, he keeps you on your toes.
Yeah, you gotta read through the title and understand it. So, good job, Crazy, with the title there. Way to throw me off, buddy. we'd like to welcome any first-time listeners. If you'd like to become a part of the Dropping Spicy community, please join us at mash.gg/Discord, where you can meet the host and fellow Apex players. Of course, we'd like to credit Rifty Beats for the beats that brought us in today. We are recording at 10:30 p.m. Eastern on Thursday, February 25th. For release on Monday, March 1st. Our topics tonight include a rewind of Coming in Hot, where we're just going to talk about the crypto rework that was mentioned in the last poll, and let's see how either bad it would be or if it would be a really good idea. You'll find out our thoughts on that one. Then we have our February 19th poll, The Real Deal, with Heal in the name. where we had 16 submissions in the internal and 3 in the public. So it looks like if we don't offer you money, you're not going to do this poll, which is probably a bad thing since this show is based on the poll. The week that we get zero submissions, we're just going to talk about whatever we want. Yeah. I don't even know.
Yeah, we'll just spitball it, man. Whatever.
Yeah, so if you don't submit anything next week, we're just going to talk about whatever we want. So you'll have to deal with that, and that's not going to be pretty. Because we've never structured a show off of anything other than the questions. So that would be fun. As long as we don't structure it like Kinder Kura Nexo, I think we're fine, right? Slap. Got him. But we'd like to give a huge thanks to everybody who participates. My mouth is not working correctly. Participates in these polls. This has been extremely fun to just hear your feedback. I really liked the one this week, so I'm excited to get into it. We had two winners of the 1,000 Apex coins on the poll. It was Gooba Tiho says, I want them to sing the praises of the G7 and Hammer Mosey. I don't think anybody's going to be singing those praises, buddy, at all. I'm not. And then we had El Toberon that says, Hurdle 3K is cracked out of his mind. I think Hurdle has his moments. But I don't know how correct he really is. And this is going to be a plug for Hurdle, that with that, if you want to find out how cracked Hurdle is, you need to go check out his Twitch stream at Hurdle3K on Twitch. So if you haven't checked him out yet, make sure to do that, especially during the Elmer Fudd tournaments where he is fun to watch. And then, of course, we had our tournament this week where Adam Bomb, Otana Bray, and Mintfowl took the first place with, I think it was Gibby and a Mankini was the name. Yeah. I actually don't have any of the notes in front of me. But if you want to listen back to the stats from that, make sure to check out last week's Dropping Spicy show, the main show, where they discussed all the stats and went super deep into the tournament. But congratulations to you guys and Jonesy Ponzi for being the MVP. He might have not been the MVP the other night while we were playing together, but he was the MVP of the tournament.
that's where it counts. That's where it really matters.
Yeah, that's all that matters. So, I think it was Whiskey Sticks that carried him, or whoever was playing with him. Somebody carried Jonesy. So kudos to whoever that was. Cause Jonesy, you just gotta, man, you gotta show up and show out all the time, 100% of the time. You can't just show out for 1 week of the year or 1 week every 6 weeks, buddy. We need you all the time. So with that, we would just like to remind you to check the Dropping Spicy Announcements channel, where we announce polls, tournaments, and other events. And so we will be announcing the next tournament probably soon, but we have a lot of discussion on the way we want to do it, and we will let you know, and we would love to have your feedback as we look forward to the next tournament where I will win and no one else will win,
oh,
and you all will lose.
Boy.
So, yeah, I don't even think I submitted scores this time. I don't know if we did or not. So we had scores, but then it was such a race to get it all done by Tuesday for the main show that it was like, can we even submit our own? So yeah, got a little weird there. So let's just go ahead and jump into topic one. Eventually I'll learn how to talk, where we're doing the coming in hot question, the rewind, with the crypto rework idea. So I first want to just read off the idea. So I often find that waiting for smoking gas to dissipate is a pain. I want someone who can make a change to these moments. Crypto is the man for the job in my book. I would love his drone to fly through the gas or smoke and to have it vacuum up a 5-meter spears path where it flies so that you could recreate a tunnel to move or escape through. It wouldn't clear the whole area instantly, negating the enemy's ability totally, but it would shift control. Sucking up gas and smoke would damage the drone so that you could only absorb about 5 seconds of the smoke or gas, and then your drone would explode and you would have to wait for the cooldown. So you're basically sending your drone on a suicide mission, you jackass. But so it's not OP, and you can't just paintbrush a whole area to negate the whole ability. So we had a couple of questions about this. The first one was, is it reasonable to add crypto's drone, or is it OP? And of course, well, actually not, of course. It was almost a split decision here, where some people were saying it's OP and some people were saying balanced. But to be honest with you, if you think that's now, the only reason it would be balanced to me, and Sprite Fox, you might disagree, mm-hmm. would be if his drone did die. That would be the only way I could find it balanced. But if his drone, for some reason, didn't die in the process, then I don't know how I feel about that. Now, I don't know how big 5 meters is when I think about Apex, but that sounds pretty large whenever you're opening up an area to run through. So I don't know how I feel about it. But let's go ahead and do the next question before we talk about it a little bit. Should the drone fully clear the area it flies through, or only reduce the damage of the gas and improve visibility in the smoke? Some of you said full clear, but the majority of you said only slightly alter. So you don't really want it to completely negate the damage that the gas would do, or improve your visibility, but just slightly change it a little bit. So, Sprite Fox, why don't you go ahead and give us your thoughts on this?
Yeah, first of all, if this is sucking up, if you need to suck up Bangalore smoke or caustic gas, that means that your team is near enough to it to benefit from it, which means the enemy's probably also close by. And if you're in your drone when your teammates and your enemies are that close, you need to park that drone and then help your teammates. But anyways, I also think that this is a direct counter. And I remember seeing on Reddit that Daniel Klein spoke to someone, had an idea about a buff or a legend. I don't remember the specifics of that, but I do remember that Daniel Klein, the senior game designer for Respawn, said that he wants to avoid direct counters. So this one is targeting Bangalore and Caustic. And he said that if there are counters, it should be general, like Watson's interception pylon just intercepts all projectiles. Right. And so sure. Like, Gibraltar's is, and you know, Caustic throws his grenade, so that is, but they're not targeting them, it's just anybody. I mean, even grenades too. And so I think this direct counter is not that good of an idea. I think it's interesting, yeah. and it's a way to try to get crypto some more love, but I'm not sure if this is the way to go.
Now, if you would like for it to suck up the fire from Fuse's ult, we can talk, because that would be awesome, because that sucks.
Crypto Dustbuster passive.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I don't think it fits who Crypto is as a recon character, and I know that a couple of the community members put that too, but I do see as it being a little bit slightly OP, depending on what characters you put together in this. So I just don't see it as a part of the lore. I don't see it as a part of who he is. And honestly, like, I feel like his drone would have to be slightly bigger to absorb gas, and that just makes it easier to shoot. And that's not what we want as a crypt, anybody that plays Crypto. And I know that one of our community members actually just put F Crypto. Why the heck would you want to do anything with that guy?
Yeah. So,
man. I saw that and I was like, man, Crypto just, you know, he was getting shown some love for a while, but now it's like Crypto's just getting all kinds of hate. And that might be why this was brought up, right? Because they want to see a buff to Crypto. And do I think Crypto needs a buff? I don't know. I think that Crypto is one of those characters where it's like you don't have to play him all the time. He's very, you know, you can pick him knowing what his kit's useful for. And if you don't know how to use his kit, don't play him. So I just don't see, I really think he's kind of a balanced character right now. It's his ability to scan drones, his ability to pick up death boxes, his ability to res people, all of that's great. But adding something like this, it just doesn't make any sense to who he is as a character. And I mean, he's more of a hack person, right? You can't hack smoke in the air. You hack, so I just don't think it fits the character. And I really think that's about it, there with that. So why don't we go ahead and move into the next topic? Why don't you take us off, Spry Fox, not Crazy.
Because Crazy's name is right there. All right. Yeah. So this is going to be our, the community survey, the community poll that was done on the 19th called The Real Deal. Mm-hmm. And this is a lifeline scenario in a ranked game with your own Geo right here and Savage Samurai.
Who's that guy?
Noted community member. He's great. Okay. So here's the situation. Here's the scenario.
Your squad just chased a team across the valley, and as Fuse put some damage down with his ult, a couple grenades and a few rounds, they turned and start shooting back, stripping the blue armor from the two of you. Everyone has to heal a bit behind a rock. You dropped your dock drone to heal Fuse, but before he could use it, the third party rolls up from behind, so your squad slides downhill to regroup and heal away from the fight. You and Fuse go far and low towards the rock arch between the valley below Cage and the valley outside Bunker. Fuse has full blue armor again, but is healing from half health with syringes. Bloodhound just got down 75 meters away since they slid straight downhill and have 82 seconds left to be revived. The other teams don't have you in their sights just yet. You have 50 points left on your blue armor and full health. Ult is ready. 31 seconds till heal drone is back. One shield back. 6 syringes. No grenades. An alternator and a G7 with 340 rounds are in your backpack. You know the two teams above you are still fighting, but you don't know for how much longer, and you are in a bad spot in the bottom of the valley. The ring will close in 1 minute 20 seconds and has effectively cut off half of the valley towards Bunker, so your rotation is limited. What do you do?
Yeah, I remember this clearly because we died. That's what we did. But no, what was the top answer from the community? We'll go with that one. What was that one?
So the top out of all the answers, there was 5 available. The top one was to go res the Bloodhound and fall back into cover to shoot anyone as they roll up, baiting them with the res.
And Spry Fox, when we watched the video, is that what Crazy did?
Kind of. Although he had the intention of doing it, but then he made the mistake of kind of turning his back on the enemy, and that's kind of what happened.
Yeah, so what happened was I got fully healed up. I was the Fuse, right? And we were down around the rock. The other team probably didn't even know we were still there. They probably thought we had ran off and left our other guy behind. Honestly, I don't even think they knew that the other guy was down below until the res started going off and they probably heard the sound. But he, you know, crazy ran through there. He like stopped. His character model just stopped. He did a full 360 to war with his back towards the enemy and then put the res shield facing the dam where you don't want to put the res shield. Instead, you would want to put it on the opposite side because the dam is blocking the other side. And then, of course, Savage Samurai gets completely killed at that moment. Crazy gets wiped. I'm the only one left, and I'm not good enough to kill those people because they had high ground on me automatically. Mm-hmm. So what do you think should have happened there, Spry Fox?
Yeah, well, in the situation, he goes – okay, well, first of all, you called it out that the team is behind, and you go down the hill. And for some reason, Savage Samurai didn't follow. Yeah. I don't know. The only view we have is from – Crazy, and he's not facing Samurai, and so I don't know what he was doing, if he was cut off or what was going on, but he got downed, and then after he gets downed is kind of where, what would you do? And for me, I would, because he's under the tunnel in the bridge, and I would have waited for Savage Sam to come further down the tunnel and then res him and then revive him, because then that shield is going to block off any, they would have to come through the tunnel. And if they do, they're kind of, it's fish in a barrel kind of a situation because they can't dodge it. So I would revive him and try to go back out the other end of the tunnel and kind of peek the edge to shoot them as they come up. But overall, it was kind of a tough situation, but and there are the two teams fighting up top. And then the minute I think that Crazy was probably thinking that, oh, I'm going to be able to get this revive off because they're fighting mm-hmm. each other. And the minute he starts the revive, they were on top of you guys. And so it was kind of rough.
Yeah. I just think the whole like stop and turn around thing is what killed it for us. I think that if he would have just quick tapped him and ran back, like you said, that would have probably been better. Even if Savage would have been not downed or even been downed in that situation, we still could have like maybe ran right out of there, right out from underneath the dam, grabbed his mm-hmm. box real quick and hightailed mm-hmm. it to res him. But I think it was just in that moment where Crazy turned around that kind of threw it for a loop. Even if for some reason Savage would have backed up to the dam, you still could have probably saw the big shield from Lifeline's res.
Yeah.
There. So, and like you said, we really weren't in a good position. If I don't know if the fight above us was completely over at that point, but even if it wasn't, you know, all they had to do was turn around and shoot down. And of course the team's going to mm-hmm. do that right away. So, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, very awkward situation for us. We died. Do I think that we could have lived? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think we also could have died even no matter what we did? I still think we could have died because we were the ones in the valley and there was two teams above us. So one of those teams would have finished the fight and pushed us unless we just completely got out of there. So mm-hmm. it was really unfortunate when Savage didn't go down the hill with us. But it was a quick call. It's not like it was a thought out, we're going to go here, and then I was telling him to go down the hill. After being able to think, it was, we just got pushed, literally just got pushed. Mm-hmm. I was like, we got to go down the hill because we were already getting drained. And then he made the quick decision to go up instead of down. And the other team was up there. So it just ended badly for us. But, you know, with that, good situation to talk about. Sometimes it's just that you get put in a situation you just can't get out of. Right. So that is one of those situations.
Yeah. And also in these, when you get in these situations, which is not uncommon, I mean, a team will surprise you and you've got to think quick. An important thing to do is to keep your head. Don't just panic. Try to always keep a level head, because if you panic, you're going to do something. And then the minute you go down, like 5 seconds later, you're going to be like, I knew what I should have done better, you know, which if you would have stayed calm, then you probably would have been able to make a better decision there.
Yeah. Yep. Definitely. So let's go ahead and move on to map mastery for Crash Site. So when going to Crash Site, how do you push that fight? And basically everybody agreed that you secure the high ground on the platforms and then push down the ramps to the nearest team. So if you haven't been to Crash Site, there's the huge ship And then in the middle of the ship, there's this little area where you can walk into it and you're like in the ship. And then there's two platforms. One has a hold on it where you can, you know, bust in with a grenade, get the good guns. And the other side just has the other side. It's just kind of got the same thing except for without the hold. It does have a little bit better areas to like kind of hide and block and fight. But overall, basically what it ends up happening is you end up pushing the middle and fighting the team that's up there. And then most of the time what happens after that, if there's another team in the area, they push up from below and third party the fight. So making that decision on whether or not to go in the middle is a huge decision, because if you know that there's four teams there, you know that you and another team landed high, then you automatically can assume that some other team is probably looting up down below you and they are going to push up whenever they start hearing shooting. So you really need to make a really good decision on what fights you choose when you're in this area and what fights you have the most advantage on, right? Because there's, you know, there's multiple ways to do this. There's multiple routes out of that top area, right? There's usually two ramps down on both. Actually, both sides have two ramps down. They both have one zip line out, and then they both on the back side of the ship, they have little areas where you can just drop off into below, right? So there's multiple ways to get out of there, and you can really rotate any way you want from either side, really. You know, so just knowing which way to push. But what do you think of that area, and how would you go about it, and things like that?
Yeah, it's always good to get the high ground. I mean, that's a general strategy for just any FPS, really. And so trying to secure these high platforms that are around and underneath the actual ship, that's going to be like the predominant strategy, and everyone's going to be doing it. And everyone's going to be doing it because it's the best. I mean, if two teams drop there and one dropped low, one dropped high, I'd rather be on the team that dropped high, you know, any day. And so everyone's going to be doing the same strategy. And so the real question is, for me, is when you're dropping from the drop ship, you can get on either of those platforms on the east or west side of the crash ship. But actually going into the crash ship, you can't drop from up top. And so for me, it's a question of, do I try to get into that crash ship as much as I can, so I'm robbing all that loot of the other squad that's there? Or do I drop safely with my teammates and all three of us push in there? That's kind of more the question that I ask myself. And either one, you kind of have to read it as you're dropping. If you see that they're all landing together on that one side, then maybe slip in and try to get some, steal some loot from them, you know. But if one of them melts, if more of them slip in there, then I don't know, judgment call.
And it's not a bad idea to land underneath, like around it, right? Because like,
yeah, there's plenty of loot around. Yeah.
Oh yeah, plenty of loot. And like we said a second ago, if there's two teams fighting up there, you kind of wait to see the little red in the top corner, and then you push in, right? You can you can kind of assume that those are the people going down. If you see the little highlighted red in your kills, or if you see a team get down, if you hear the gunshot stop, then push that in third party. And more than likely, you'll be able to take on the third party because there is a limited amount of shields up there. There are some good shields. There's usually at least one or two purple or blues up there. But I mean, by then they might be completely wiped of their shields. You just push in after you've looted one of those good areas below, because on either side, it, like I said, it has a zip line. So if you land on either side, you can zip line. And then if you're coming from kind of the middle of crash site, they both have stairs up to them. So, you know, it's just the stairs can be the tricky part, right? So if the fight has ended, the other team's pushing down those little stairs or whatever they're called, or the ramps, you know, it's an easy shot for them. They can kind of take cover. Whereas you're exposed fully as you're coming up. So it's kind of a tricky, you know, can I expect him to be there? If I expect him to be there, does it make sense? You know, kind of thing like that. So, you know, good question. I think that's really a really great site that we've added. But then we have a question about the rotation out. So when you leave crash site, what is your rotation? And basically, a lot of people just said they want to push spotted lakes. And then the next one was take artillery through the broken tunnel passage. And that might be just nostalgia kicking in where people just love going artillery because they know the area more than they know Spotted Lakes. But also coming into Spotted Lakes from crash site, you are going low ground compared to where the people, if there's anybody pushing from the pit, they're going to be high ground on you. And on the left side as well, there's high ground there too. So you have to be kind of careful if you are coming to Spotted Lakes from crash site, and really that hill going down into Spotted Lakes is really barren. It's really easy to get, if somebody's chasing you from crash site, that one rope that goes down to Spotted Lakes is just a straight drop and they could aim really easily down it. Mm-hmm. So it's really not the easiest rotation. And honestly, I've taken the way to artillery much more, or the way through the tunnel into the southern tower, right? I've taken towards containment. So I've taken that more than I've taken the Spotted Lakes rotation. The only reason I like taking the Spotted Lakes rotation is because the good loot there. And the majority of time there is a team there fighting if for some reason I've won crash site. So what would you say your rotation out of there would be?
It depends, because you mainly got three rotations. And for those that don't know, rotations, we say rotations, but we're just meaning where to go from here, point A to point B, point B to point C. That's rotation. And from crash site, you've got three rotations. You got Spotted Lakes, artillery, and Watchtower North / containment, since they're kind of in the same area. For me, it would just depend on where the ring went, because if you're in crash site, you have enough loot and you're probably, you know, to satisfy you, and you got enough, probably another squad's line in there. So you're fighting another squad. And so if you land there first, then by the time you're looted and or have killed your other squad or finished the other squad, then you're probably having to go to the ring. And so I would just go to whichever rotation made sense for the ring. If we were kind of bruised and battered, if we were kind of, although they have two respawn beacons there, so you usually come out of there pretty full. So you can go out of there with confidence, knowing that if you run into another team, I mean, you're all full. But mostly I would imagine artillery, since that's kind of more central towards the map. But if the ring does pull towards Spotted Lakes, I would say that's lucky, because you get all the loot from crash sites, and then you can loot through Spotted Lakes, which has got a ton of loot.
Yeah, and good. And Spotted Lakes also does have good rotations out of it, whether you're going towards containment or whether you're going towards the runoff. So really not bad area. Now, I just say my favorite way to leave crash site is through the tunnel between artillery and containment. I think that's my, because then I can make a choice, right? If I hear gunshots in artillery, I can make the choice to go left. If I hear gunshots in containment, I make the choice to go right. And either way, you're really not in a bad position, because you have a building right there in artillery as you enter. And then if you go out the right side, you have a overlook of containment. So, you know, the likelihood of teams sitting there is not that high. And to be honest with you, the rotation out of artillery through the cave is not as popular as it used to be when it was a one shot way to containment. A lot of people, instead of rotating through the cave, now choose to rotate through crash site. So, you know, you've got that. But let's go ahead and move on to the next section called Loot Tier Map. And Spryfox, why don't you go ahead and take those questions for us?
Okay, so the first question is, do you think floor loot has been stronger this season, not including the explosive holds? And most of you, the majority, said strongly agree. And then kind of a close second is just agree.
Yeah.
So overall, just agreeing that it is, and I think so too. It's, those explosive holds really, really do are what make it for me.
They're so good.
Yeah, they're so good. Really good.
And I think that if they don't do something with World's Edge when it does come back next season, that's equivalent to the holds, a lot of people are going to miss King's Canyon when it pops up. And honestly, I wouldn't even be mad if we see something like that on Olympus for ranked next split, but I don't think they'll change Olympus yet. I think they're going to wait. I think something's coming in season 9 that we don't know about yet that's going to change up the game for Olympus. But I love the loot this season. It's such a good, they've distributed it well too. And a lot, the scary thing is a lot of times, well, scary and sad, I was about to say sad, is most of the time when you see a Mosey land on the floor, you see a hop up right beside it. It's like, did you plan this, Respawn? Did you really want to make this spicy? So it's very interesting, though. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So the next question is, the next question has a map with it. And this map is on a Reddit thread. And so if you want to look up this map, on the Apex Legends subreddit, the title of the Reddit thread is Kings Canyon Loot Tier Map Apex Season 8. And it has a map of Season 8 Kings Canyon, and it marks high tier loot, mid tier loot, basic tier loot, and also where the explosive holds are. And so each area is outlined with the different colors of that correspond to that tier of loot. And it's got everything. It's pretty detailed. And the question is, do you agree with the map, meaning the map and all of the different loot tier zones? And 62% of you said yes.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it looks pretty accurate to me.
I don't,
the only area I don't really agree with, they have high tier loot in swamps. I never think of high tier loot when I drop swamps. And the main reason for that, I guess, is because I have to go up and down so much in swamps to even get loot. So it's sometimes just, it's more of a struggle. If I see a purple, I'm like, oh man, I have to take this zip line. Then I have to cross that bridge. Then I have to hop down on top of that building. I'm like, oh my gosh. So
got a lot of parkour in ahead of you.
And I don't really agree with water treatment as well. They put water treatment as a high tier area. And I think I spend more time crafting in that area to get my loot higher than I do, actually getting high tier loot there. Mm-hmm. So that's really the only other two places. Of course, they put on here, the rig has high tier loot. I can agree with that. Crash site, artillery, spotted lakes, runoff. They all have high tier loot. I'm actually interested. I was surprised they put a place like Market doesn't have high tier loot, because I feel like it does. They also put Salvage as high tier loot. And then Mirage Voyage usually doesn't have bad loot either.
Yeah, that's the one area that I thought, because right here they said mid-tier loot, and I thought there was high-tier loot. I was kind of surprised. And another area that surprised me is the High Desert. That is the area that's east of Air Base and Runoff, south of the Pit, west of Bunker, north of Gauntlet, all that area. They have it as high-tier loot, when I don't really remember it being that high, except for... We call it Gold Town, is kind of what me and the people I play with, and I think on Outplayed, we called it Gold Town. And it's the area just directly south of the Pit, like southeast of the Pit, that little tiny town. There is always at least one gold item there, and I don't know why. So if maybe they're factoring that in and that makes it high tier, I don't know.
It just it doesn't feel high tier to me. If anything, they should box that off with the Pit. That's high tier area, and then High Desert's not high tier.
Yeah, that'd be good. I agree with that.
And then I also like how they split up labs, though. Labs, they said the high ground at labs doesn't have high tier loot, but whenever you push inside of labs, it does have high tier loot. So they really did think through this quite a bit when they were making the map. So kudos to whoever made the map, because it looks decent, but I would like to know the data that it's based upon. Is it just like this person landed here, 20 times and then said, oh, well, this is crap loot. Oh, well, this is good loot. And then they made this map. So,
well, you can also, when you go from one area to the next, it'll show up on your screen, the area, you're going into capacitor or you're going into runoff, and it will say under it high tier loot or mid tier loot. It'll say that. But the thing is, we already know where we're going, and it's just such a side note, I think, to everyone who's used to the game that we don't really notice it. But it does say that when you go from one area to the other, it tells you where you are, where you've just arrived, and if it's high, mid, or low tier.
So that's what areas would the community change the loot in rank?
Yeah,
the loot rank.
So this one was open ended, and people said map room they would change it to at least mid tier. Because right now on this one, Crypto's map room is set to basic tier.
I don't agree with
that. Yeah, so a lot of the people said map room. They would make the gauntlet purple, Mirage Voyage purple. Yeah, we talked about that those two should be purple. Yeah.
Map room's really the only one they said should change.
Yeah.
But map room does not, it has an explosive hold there. So you're guaranteed at least some sort of hop up. Your shields, you can usually find at least one or two blues there. But I do agree that there's a huge difference between Repulsor and Crypto's map room. But I don't agree that the little area south or southwest of Crypto, the little like river's end area with a little bitty house and a little bitty thing before you push into little bitty buildings before you push into water treatment.
Yeah, so that River's End there, it has, I agree that it has mid tier. I really don't even, when I rotate through it, I really don't expect much. The explosive hold is what keeps that area even mildly interesting. And those zip lines, it has a pretty good zip lines to the Overlook South and Crypto's map room. But other than that, not really too special to me.
Yeah, no, I think they did a good job on the map, and I don't really think much should change. I think rotating in and out of areas, they've got a good spread here to make sure that the areas on the outskirts have the higher tier loot, whereas the areas on the inside don't really have the higher tier loot because they expect you to already be looted up and pushing as you push into the map, middle of the map. You know, you don't have to push in and worry about getting high tier loot, but more worried about getting like your ammo and all that kind of stuff. So they've done very well on making sure the areas that people drop the most have most of the best loot, right? Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and move into Locked and Loaded. So this mode came out and basically replaced our regular mode of just dropping and normally without no gun. And basically what they've done is you drop with a white shield, a mosey, I think it's two syringes and two shield cells. And that's what you get and you're equipped as you drop in. And we asked simply, do you like this mode? And you all said yes. There was no no's. Everybody likes dropping in with a gun. And that's basically that. Now, the next question is, what is your favorite thing to have on this drop mode? And I kind of want to read what Crazy wrote here. He sometimes writes these little blurbs in our notes. He says, the white armor may give longer start fights, but it's raising the damage floor so everyone has to hit more shots. But the strategic advantage is in the shields, in my mind, because you can peek shots to put damage down, and if you get hurt, you can fall back and heal while your team supports the reassert with a plan, or even the syringes specifically to combat survive caustics drop. Caustics on drop. I guess he thinks caustics are strong this season, but he does make good argument there as while the white armor does something, also the heals in fact do something as well. But the majority of you all put that the white armor was your favorite thing off a drop, and just simply having a starter kit to your Evo armor is basically what it is. Your next two was the shield cells and the mosey. So Spryfox, what is your favorite thing in this mode that you drop in with?
I think it's the Mozambique. I just like dropping and having at least something that I can fight with. I've been in situations, I've been on both sides of the coin where we drop and me and an enemy drop in near the same, almost the exact same spot, and I pick up the gun first and then just turn in and mow them down. And then I've been the other side where they get it first and I'm trying to hit them or trying to run away and they kill me. And so I like the Mozambique because it gives you, it's more on equal footing. You know, you don't have to go and get that gun and just rely on luck pretty much, you know, whoever can mash the button the fastest, or, you know, it kind of levels that out.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. I did have a couple more questions for you. Do you think the Mosey was the best choice for the starter gun? Why do you think they use the Mosey over something, say, like the P2020? Do you have any idea on that?
Yeah, I think it's because the ammo for the P2020 can go pretty fast, because people can fire it pretty fast, and that's like the focus on it is how fast you can fire it rather than placing your shots, which kind of drives me crazy. But I think the Mozambique is also good because, I mean, it does a pretty fair amount of damage for just starter weapon, and also it doesn't eat through your ammo as much. So I think it's a good little gun to start out with. I definitely nothing any stronger, but Mosey's like nice to have, but you're looking to switch it out with something when you drop.
You are, yeah, definitely. Do you think that they're going to keep this in regular mode? Do you think that that's what they're doing here? Is they're testing it out, wanting to see what it's going to look like?
I think that would eliminate a lot of the RNG. You know, you don't just, you know, if you land and you don't have a gun and the other person did, that kind of doesn't, they can win, but it's not really, but in that case, it's not really a matter of skill. It's just a matter of luck. Mm-hmm. And so I think this kind of helps to eliminate the luck factor and says, hey, you both had white shields and you both had Mozambiques. And so if you lose, I mean, it's, you don't, you have less of an excuse, you know? And so I like this, and I wouldn't be surprised if they kept it. So that way people who are actually better can shine and not just get unlucky.
Do you think we'll see it in ranked?
I wouldn't be surprised. I would be fine with it in ranked because for the same reasons, you know?
Yeah. I don't think it's a bad idea. So let's actually go into some of these other questions that might highlight some of this mode a little bit. What is the most frustrating thing about this mode? And basically you all said people have guns on drop, so you can't always run into the open to get loot first. If you're in front, they'll shoot you in the back. So you kind of have to be aware of your surroundings. And then also one of them was me or my teammates think that there are a better way, better with the Mosey than they are. And so we get wiped out in a silly situation. So you get kind of cocky with your gun mm-hmm. game there. So, you know, obviously it does cause you to have to be more aware of your surroundings whenever you do drop, because there is that factor of damage now that can be dealt to you. So it does, I understand your frustrations there, but like Spryfox brought up a second ago, if you drop with somebody anyway and they get the gun before you, then you don't even have a chance to survive. So does it make more sense for you to be able to survive, or for you to just get wiped out and have no choice at all on whether or not you survive? You know, because most of the time, mm-hmm. if somebody drops on you and they have a gun, you can't run away from that. You can try if you're okay, yeah. And you get lucky, but most of the time you're looking to go in. You know, most of the time, if you drop with somebody, you're looking to get the gun first because of that random loot bin they opened and you opened, and you're hoping that your loot bin has the gun. Their loot bin just has maybe the armor or a heal or something like that. So mm-hmm. it definitely adds that special factor. But I don't really see it being a frustrating aspect. I see it being a help, like you said, to the players and not really a hindrance to them. Mm-hmm. So the next question was, have you found yourself losing more fights on drop in this mode than a typical hot drop? And actually, you all said no, winning more early fights. And simply, again, it's because you have a gun, right? It's, mm-hmm. you know, and the hope is, my hope is always I land on a Mastiff and the other guys have the Mosey. So I don't know. Yeah, it actually makes me not want to drop the shotgun as much. And, you know, that's where I think maybe what I would like to see is there be a choice in the gun that you drop with. I would like to see maybe there be a choice between the Mosey, the P2020. And then if they were to come out with some kind of heavy weapon that wasn't as, you know, as crazy as like a Wingman or a 30-30, maybe some sort of heavy weapon that would, you could drop, and then you could pick of the three. And strictly just because I like to run light, so therefore having that light already in my backpack and being able to switch to an R99 versus a flatline that I don't like to pick up, you know, I can make that decision on drop because I picked P2020 as my starter gun. So I think that would be pretty cool. I don't know how you feel about that, Spryfox. I just think it would be really interesting.
Yeah, that'd be cool if they could have more choices, because right now, if they implemented that, you know, it'd be more Mozambique or P2020. I think any other gun
would be
too powerful, and it'd be the obvious and only choice that people would pick. And so it would lend some, I mean, they might get some like data from it to be like, okay, let's give them this choice and then they can see who picks. Yeah. Picks which gun is more popular, pick, you know, that'd be kind of interesting.
It'd just be crazy because light and I feel like light and shotgun are already dominant in the game. So just being mm-hmm. able to give them that start sucks. So, but everybody gets it, right? So it's not like it's not like it's unbalanced, right? So why don't you move on to our next section, survivability?
Okay. So in this section, the first question is, With the addition of a damage tracker on the HUD, are you going to, or did you already, turn off your damage indicator where you shoot so you can see the target better? And so for this, he's meaning before the damage tracker was even a thing, if when you shoot people, you see the numbers pop up, and that's the damage indicators. And they're asking, does the damage tracker affect that? Do you turn it on or off? And our crazy, he has another little blurb here. He says, I tried it off and found that I really missed the damage in my immediate field of view, and specifically when doing duration damage to players, charge rifle, thermites, gas. I would hear the damage, but had no clear indicator how much. The active damage counter at the player is still helpful for me. So,
well, yeah, the whole point of, hey, I just, somebody's low. If you automatically have to look up to at your damage counter and do math all of a sudden.
Yeah.
You have to know what you started. You had to know what you've already done in damage and then subtract it from that. And it's like, why not go ahead and, see the damage and say, hey, I hit the lifeline for 70 rather than, oh, wait, okay, so I did 700 damage already this match.
I got my calculator. Hold on.
It went up to 770. I must have done 70 damage on that guy. I think it would be silly to turn it off. I mean, unless you just don't like the spam on your screen or it causes lag or something like that. So, I don't know.
Yeah, and most of the people agree. Majority said no, that they did not turn off the damage indicator just because we got the damage tracker, which good for those reasons that you said. The next question is, how do you have your damage indicator configured? And for these, there's stacking, floating, or both. Those are the options in the game, or you can just turn it off altogether. Majority said stacking, which means that it will add, if you're shooting at them, say, with a flat line, and it will add, if your damage source is frequent enough and fast enough, it will just add all of that up for you. And so that way, when you run out of your clip, it'll show you the end result, the sum of the recent damage you did. And floating is, it will show you the damage of each individual piece of damage. So if you do the flat line, you're seeing like a ton of numbers for each individual bullet that you shot at them and hit them, and it won't add it up for you. And then there's both, where it does both. It'll add it for you and it will show each individual one. Majority said they had it on stacking, which is what I have it on. Do you have it on anything else?
I didn't even know that was an option, bro. I don't think about this that much. I just play it. Stacking's default, right? I would have been the person that just put default, because I didn't even know you could change that. So
yeah,
pretty interesting.
And I don't really know why. Like, I guess you could. I'm trying to think of the advantage of seeing each individual. Like, for example, if you threw a thermite on someone, it's just gonna show, and the numbers float. So if you're doing R99, which is rapid damage, you're going to see each number on top of the next, like, zip up. So, like each one individual one that you did, which I mean is fine, but since it doesn't give you a total, you can't call out to your teammates, oh, I did this much damage to them. You'll just have to kind of, well, I did a lot. I saw a bunch of numbers. I'm not going to add them all up though.
No, I don't know anyone. If you do have floating and you are the one that put that you had floating, please go into the Discord and let us know why you have it on floating. I'm actually pretty interested in that. So
I'd like to know.
And then I guess you can have it on both, or can you have it on both? Is that a
It'll show, it'll add it. You'll basically have kind of two columns of numbers, and one is the stacking added up and the other one's floating, and you'll just see the numbers zip up.
Okay.
Like in a line from it, and you'll just have both.
Well, if you're a part of the 31% that has both, I would also like to know why you have both, and does it clutter up your screen? So, definitely go into the Dropping Spicy, tag me or Sprout Fox, and let us know, because we are very interested in that. But let's go ahead and move on to our general store here. So we had an Octane buff idea. So we just want to credit Deem the Shark for posting this in a Discord. But let me read it off real quick. So basically, it says, when your ult is charged, you get the prompt to say rig the blow. You must have a grenade in your inventory. If rigged, you lose that grenade, but you throw a rigged jump pad. You and your teammates can use it normally, but if an enemy tries to use it, the jump pad blows up in the process, giving the jump boost, but causing damage and being destroyed afterwards. In my opinion, this idea, the person that posted this, in his opinion, it fits Octane's character. He blew up his own legs, so that's why they're saying that. It buffs Octane by either damaging or pursuing enemy or disengaging pursuit at all. And also, it adds some more utility to the jump pad, as you could throw a rigged jump pad onto an enemy and use it effectively, or use it effectively to block doors. So very, very deep thought here. I think it's interesting to me, being someone who played Octane the most last season. And basically, we just asked you guys, how do you feel about this? And y'all said no MFing way. But then closely followed by, hells yeah, amigo. Great, great way of putting those answers there, Crazy. Good job there. You're kind of showing his personality.
Yeah.
How do you feel about this, Sprout Fox, before I say how I feel?
Well, I think if this were implemented, it would be it would be pretty frustrating, because right now in the game, there is no ability that punishes you for making a mistake about it. So, for example, if you see a caustic gas trap, you know it's a gas trap, you know it's not good. And if you saw a Mirage decoy and you shot it, you know, whatever, you don't take any damage. But this is like, you can usually take a jump pad, but if you take one that's rigged, it'll do damage to you, but in a way that you could not tell. I mean, unless there is some subtle detail that you needed to, like it looks like there's a different coloration or something to it that would alert the keen-eyed player that it's a rigged jump pad instead of a regular jump pad. It's kind of fun, but for Octane, I don't think he really needs... This would be a definite buff, I would say, and I don't think he really needs it. He's in a pretty good place, and plus, you would see so many... I mean, why wouldn't you do this? I mean, this doesn't seem like there's any drawbacks to it, since it works for you and your teammates and hampers enemies. Like, why wouldn't you use this every time, you know?
Yeah, I don't agree with it. I don't think it should be put in the game either. And I say that, and I would love for it to be put in the game, because, you know, let's look at like an area real quick. Let's look at the area. There's that valley to the right of, it's by containment, and then there's the overlooking containment, and then of course you can see into the valley. I think of like someone who takes a jump pad that's randomly laying there in the valley. They take it up high ground. The other team's just sitting there, like camping, waiting for an enemy to take that. Then that person gets split off from the team. Gets the jump pad blows up, so the other teammates can't take it at all, and so therefore you automatically, the campers win in that situation. So, you know, I don't encourage camping. And I think that this is one of those things where it is, and caustics is a different thing. It's for defense. Obviously you can camp caustic stuff, but people will see caustics being camped. Whereas unless there was an indicator letting you know that it was rigged, you know, that it's kind of unfair situation for anybody taking it. Now, if there's an indicator and the dude's dumb enough to jump on it, go ahead and let him. But I just don't see it being, it does fit his character. It does fit his funniness, but no, it doesn't. Yeah. I don't agree. I would love it if I was an Octane, but I think that he is meta right now. And I think that what they've done has caused him to be kind of brought back into the game. So to do something like this on top of what you've already done, just wouldn't make any sense, but cool idea there. And, I guess I'm going to have to go with the community and no MFing way. Just gonna have to do it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, even though I don't think it should be in the game, it fits him as a character and as a lore piece very well. Yeah. Like in that aspect, I think it's fantastic, because it totally fits Octane. He would, you know, but just as a part of it, like a gameplay, not lore, then no.
Now, on top of that, though, what I would be okay with saying is if you did if you did put a grenade, you could put a grenade on your jump pad that would not do any damage, but you could kind of like hit a little button and destroy the jump pad to cut off somebody. So, cause there's a lot of times where someone takes a jump pad and then you're like, you hear it go off. And you're like, I wish I could just click a button and like it go away so that I could isolate that person. And there's a lot of times where I use my jump pad and I'm like, man, I wish that could disappear because there's a team behind me pushing me. So I would like to cut them off and not give them a chance to take the jump pad I just laid down. So having an ability of kind of like exploding your own jump pad so that it can't be used by anybody else, that would be a pretty cool aspect of his kit to have, I think. And as long as it doesn't do damage, I don't think it would be that big of a deal. But there are some, like, as long as, you know, with the grenade, you can get some really good damage done to a person and kind of affect their game. It's just kind of a crappy situation to roll up to, but that would be my idea for it. Just being able to destroy them anyway would be pretty cool just because there's a lot of times I'm just trying to get out of dodge and I know they're going to take it behind me. It's going to be a nightmare, especially if they have an Octane on their team as well.
That'd be another buff. I'm not sure if he would need another buff, but it would also be in the same vein as a Horizon, because currently Horizon is the only one that has a movement ability that can move the entire team and ceases, and no one can just follow it forever. Because you think of a portal or a zipline or a jump pad, anyone can take, but Horizon's tactical is kind of special that way that it can move her team and then stop, so no one can chase.
Yeah, makes sense. Why don't you go ahead and take us into the clips from the community, the question we were asked there.
Okay, so this is it, for any question that you'd like to see on the poll, drop it here, and we're going to read it. This says, has the new mode changed loot distribution? I have been landing on 4+ purple shields. And to answer it, I would say yeah. With the new locked and loaded or game mode, I've noticed that there's times where it's like, oh, we drop, oh, I found purple shields, and then I'll see another purple shield and I'll ping it and I'll look at my teammates' shields they have, and I'm like, oh, they both already have purple. Like, I think just getting rid of because this is only blue rarity and above. And so it's kind of a net gain. Not only are you not getting white, but you're seeing higher tiers, higher possibility of higher tiers. So that net gain, you know, really makes a dramatic difference. What do you think?
Like I said earlier, if there's been a lot of times where I've landed on Mosey and there's the hop up right there, if you go into an explosive hold, you can automatically assume that one of those guns in the explosive hold has a gold or a purple or a blue that's going to go with it. You don't know which one it is, of course, but you can automatically assume that it has one of those, and you're going to be able to completely almost fully kit a gun in one of those explosive holds. So gun wise, and then, you know, if you can do that in explosive hold, why don't they just put it around the map kind of, you know, all together anyway? So, yeah, I mean, obviously it's a better loot distribution, and that's exactly why I think we're going to see it again and again. And I don't think then they're going to take it out. And also, think we'll see it in the ranked, as well, because it would make a lot of sense there for how ranked is played. So with that, let's go ahead and move on to our last little area right here. Basically, we said, if you have any feedbacks for us, let us know. We got a Geo and Spy Fox are killing it. Great flow and good insights make it for an easy and entertaining listen. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
Someone put, you are handsome. Papa loves you. I don't call anybody Papa. So, I didn't even call my own dad Papa. So, I'm wondering, it might be Papa from Apex Games, because his name's Papa, and we call him that there. So, if that's you, Papa, thank you for listening, and thank you for getting on the polls.
Thank you.
Feral Floss here. Now that we've heard Spry Fox attempt on an accent, can we get a Fox versus Geo accent battle? I'm thinking about voice lines from the game. Select one Karen, then select your favorite three voice lines, best of three rounds. And so we're not going to do that right now, but what I will promise Feral Floss is that next time in the quick topics, we will do that. We'll do it. I'll make it happen. So
There it is.
If you want to hear that and you made it this far in the podcast so far, then know that's coming next time and we will do that for you. So we will not count you out there at Feral Floss. And then we had another person that is really of no significance that put a comment
in
here. no, we love you, Max. He said, one thing I
this
know.
This is my fan.
This is my one and only fan.
Yeah.
If I had an OnlyFans, he would be a part of it. I can see it now. Spry Fox OnlyFans. And it is little audio voice.
Spicy.
It's your little audio.
Yeah, just audio.
Yeah, that's it.
Just sultry audio. Audio little silent bites.
One thing I noticed wasn't mentioned in last week's polls is with everyone having a mosey, how easy it is to run in someone with hammer points. Huh? Gio mentioned that, right? Especially in the initial drop. So Spry Fox, let's go ahead and have you answer. Let's go ahead and have you respond to him.
All right. So for my man, Max.
Yeah.
So I haven't noticed anything. I haven't noticed like people dropping and immediately picking up hammer points, but I am always surprised by it. Like if someone starts shooting me with a Mozambique and I'm kind of like, what are you doing? You know, I've got a, you know, 301 or I've got something. And then all of a sudden they doom and my shield gets broken. And then one more shot and I'm downed. I'm always like, oh, okay.
That tickled more.
He had hammer points. Okay. Oh, all right.
No. Yeah, no,
that was a surprise.
I've definitely noticed it a little bit more. And it's usually, you know, it's always just like you might even get halfway through the game and you're like, why does that dude still have a mosey? I know that's a mosey I'm getting shot by, but why does he know? Oh, he has the hammer point.
Yeah.
But still, why would you keep that?
I don't know. Maybe they're trying to do the challenge or whatever.
I don't get it.
Probably a reason why.
Yeah. No.
But I would also like to, I don't have it in the notes, but I would also like to shout out someone, Dave, the Ice King.
Ice King.
My man, if you're out there, he messaged me randomly. It was yesterday. And we had some back and forth. Adam is a friend. We played a few games. It was a great time. He's a cool guy.
Well, at least you'll play games with him because it's hard to get you to play games with me. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, I tried to.
Yeah, last night we tried to play with you. Yeah. And then Whiskey Sticks had already talked to me, and I was like, that's probably going to play with you.
Which, also, side note, Whiskey Sticks, I don't know if you guys know this, but when I thought of Whiskey Sticks, I don't know if you know, but you know those level sticks that like carpenters have and they set it somewhere and it's got liquid in between liquid and usually, it's got the bubble? Yeah. So my grandpa, who was a carpenter, he calls those whiskey sticks. And I asked him one time when I was a kid, you know, this is when I was littler, and I asked him, why you call it whiskey sticks? And he said, it's because it used to be that liquid used to be whiskey or used to be alcohol. Because alcohol won't freeze, and so you can just stay in there, and you don't have to worry about it freezing. And so, even though it's not whiskey, they would call it whiskey stick because it has alcohol in it, so it doesn't freeze. So when I saw whiskey sticks on the Discord for the first time, I was like, I wonder if he
knows that.
Means that, yeah. Like if that's what he's named after, or if it's some other name. I mean, he spells it with X's, you know, so he's cool like that and stuff.
I think,
but
he just likes
this
whiskey.
Is what came to mind.
I think so okay. But
I'm too deep into it. I'm thinking too deeply.
Whiskey, we have hope that you're a carpenter. Well, he has been working on his basement lately where he's getting a really cool setup for streaming, so another plug there. If you don't watch Whiskey Six stream, make sure you go watch Whiskey Six stream. It's usually in one of our channels, so definitely go catch him there. He's really fun to play with, and he's fun to have around too, and just kind of talk about the game. He's got some insight on the game that sometimes is interesting to hear, Whiskey Sticks. You're pretty interesting to listen to, especially whenever you start cussing all the players that down you. That's pretty fun. Fun too. You know those times. Don't act like you don't, Whiskey. Yeah. So we all have those, though. I've had those. Like, you could probably tell in this podcast my voice isn't as exciting as it usually is, and that's because Platt has been literal Platt hell.
I'm in platinum. I'm in high plat 3. I'm almost plat 2. I'm like,
man,
just maybe, you know, 50, 60 points away from plat 2. And yeah, it is. The competition is more fierce. I think people saw that they're going to have those diamond dive trails, and it drew the crowds.
And people obviously thought the climb would be a little bit easier. So a lot of people did push out of gold really, really quick. And so you are getting more players in Plaid. I guarantee you when the stats come out next season, we're definitely going to see more players playing in Platt.
Oh yeah.
But that, you know, you added a wall there again, you still have that wall there. So I feel like there needs to be that Platt wall that's taken down and destroyed and it never go back up again and only be up there for people that actually like to play the game, like Apex Predator. You know, so
that's a long condition. That's a lot of hyphens there.
Yep. So I guess we can go ahead and close out the show. Thank you all for your comments and questions and keep them coming. We love answering them and we love that you are loving the show. We'd like to thank you all again for doing the polls and keeping the show going. If you'd like to follow Dropping Spicy on Twitter, make sure you go follow them at Dropping Spicy. You can also follow us on Instagram and on TikTok. You can also follow the Mash Those Buttons on Twitter at the Mash Network. And then you can catch Dropping Spicy live every Tuesday on twitch.tv/MashThoseButtons. So definitely go there and support the show that way by giving them a follow and maybe even a subscribe. Spry Fox, where can they find you on social media?
Well, you can, my gamer tag on Xbox is Spry Fox. That's one word, capital S, capital F. You can find me on Discord at Spry Fox, same spelling, number 9056. You can find me on Twitter and Twitch at Spry Fox, same spelling with the number one. So that's Spry Fox 1. I know I haven't been streaming like at all with Twitch, but I'll start. I'm pretty new to it, so it just doesn't cross my mind, but I'll make an effort to stream more in case for anyone who wants to see.
Yeah, he also has realized that he actually has to have good content to stream. I'm just kidding.
Ouch.
Yeah, nobody's going to go watch a Rampart main. usually I would say that you could just talk to me on the Dropping Spicy channels and stuff, but Savage Samurai is our social media person. So I'm going to kind of let him take that reign and message you back and forth if you are on messaging our social medias. But you can still email us at droppingspicy_socialmedia@hotmail.com. And I am in control of that email, so I will get your email. I get a lot of those during tournaments. But you can find me on Twitter, Twitch. On Twitter, you can find me on GOC. On Twitch and Origin, or Steam is what you'd say. It's Mash_Geo. That's capital M-A-S-H. And then I don't really check my TikTok or Instagram that much unless I'm just looking at how people are doing and things like that or learning a new dance. I like to dance, Spry Fox. No,
nice.
I don't really like to dance. It's pretty. It's ugly. Join the Mash Those Buttons community on Discord at mash.gg/Discord where you can send us your feedback, stories, and questions. Also, make sure you go and rate and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. But more importantly, go to the mashthosebuttons.com where you can find a multitude of shows and listen to them in the browser when you're on the website. Make sure you support us by becoming a patron at patreon.com/mashthosebuttons where you can get tier and content for as little as $1 a month and extra spicy content for $5 a month and other content as well other than just the Dropping Spicy, Extra Spicy. And then also make sure to check out our Teespring store at teespring.com/stores/mashthosebuttons. Or you can buy some Mash Those Buttons swagga. And then we'd like you to please stay tuned after the show to hear about the other shows on our network. And with that, we are completed. And we will see you next week where we will have the ultimate showdown of Geo versus Spry Fox in the Battle of the Accents. So.
Yes. Yeah. You better work on yours. I'm going to bring my A game.
I'm probably going to suck, but we'll try. Anyway, no. I'm thinking about trying to find a host to just kind of have somebody on here do it for me. So, this is Geo. Hey, nice to meet you.
Yeah, so. Totally. Legit.
We'll see you guys later. So I look forward to talking to you all next week and stuff like that. So have a good week and enjoy yourself and in Apex. And maybe you don't hit that plat wall kind of like me and Spry Fox are hitting right now. And stuff like that. So drop spicy, y'all.
Yep, take care, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to a Mash Those Buttons production. If you enjoyed the show, you should check out mashthosebuttons.com and see if any of our other shows might interest you. All of our shows are available on your podcast platform of choice like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. If you enjoy our content, you can help support Mash Those Buttons by becoming a patron at patreon.com/mashthosebuttons, where you can receive Patreon bonuses for as little as $1 a month. You can connect with Mash Those Buttons at twitter.com/themashnetwork, facebook.com/mashthosebuttons, or join our Discord at mash.gg/discord.